It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31. We're going to begin reading with the 12th verse. And so please that you would join us there. Exodus chapter 31, verse 12. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. It's going to be a wonderful study, as always. Every time we open the Word of God, it's a wonderful time. So please, let's begin reading now. Exodus chapter 31, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. Now, we're probably going to get into the 32nd chapter, but let's go ahead and stop there and begin with prayer, and then we'll read on if we get that far. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this time of study. I ask that you will guide and lead us through your word through this precious time. It's so wonderful to have an opportunity to open the Word of God and to study the Word of God and just enjoy it, just learn and know more about you, know more of what you want us to do, to be. Please, dear Lord, that you will guide and lead us today through your Word, that we may know your perfect will, not man's requests or desires, but your will. That's what we want today. So please guide and lead us now as we continue the study of your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we open the scripture up and we find many things in God's word, and each one applies to our lives and our hearts. And as we come through, we look at the tabernacle and the beginning of chapter 31, why we looked at those that were going to do the work and the type of workmanship and things like that that was going to be carried out with the tabernacle, the furniture, all those things, and who was involved with that, and the special gifts. That's what we kind of spent the time with last time we were together, talking about that God gives you a gift, and we need to be using that gift to His honor and glory, and not for our own gain or advantage. And we have looked in previous times we were together before that there are times that are there and places, things that are very special unto God. And we looked at the incense that was designed just for the incense altar. And we looked at those things. We looked at the anointing of the priests, God's men. It was a special oil that was given for them, not to be duplicated or mimicked for any other reason or purpose. Things of God are to be special. Things of God are to be separated from the world. And so I think we've learned those things there. Now we have come to a question about the Sabbath. Many people wonder about the Sabbath and wonder why or when the Sabbath day got changed to Sunday. Well, to begin with, answer that very quickly and very easily, it didn't. The Sabbath is Saturday. It has been from the start. It still is today. It has never changed. Because we worship on Sunday doesn't mean that the Sabbath moved from Saturday to Sunday. That's a misunderstanding that many people have. They even refer to Sunday being the Sabbath day. It isn't. The Sabbath day is Saturday. And so let's just clear that up right away. Now, what we're going to look at here is what the requirement is for the nation of Israel, and then we're going to take some time and look at why don't we worship on Saturday. Some do, but most from the beginning and the birth of the church worship on the first day of the week, on Sunday. And so let's take a look and see what the Word of God tells us here. So we begin with the 12th verse. And we begin with the Lord speaking to Moses, giving him this direction. And it said, "Now speak thou also unto the children of Israel." Each time you see that Moses was to take a look at this, it was not for himself. It was always that he would share it with the people. And when I study the Word of God, I love teaching the Word of God. And I love studying the Word of God. It applies to my heart, but the joy is that what the Lord shows me, then I have an opportunity at God's timing to share that with others. And I believe God expects all believers to do that, to help. And many times it's not a matter of stating word for word the Scripture. The more that we spend with the Lord, the closer we are with Him, the more love and joy and peace will come from our lives. And that's what we're to be giving. We're to be giving out the gospel. We're to be telling people that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that they can live. Please trust in Jesus today and be saved. By faith, the Lord Jesus, to come to the Lord Jesus is the only way. There is no other way of salvation. And so we ask that message be given. But the message of God's love, God's judgment, there is much to be said, and we need to be busy about doing the work of the Lord. And so here, why we come and we're studying the Word of God and learning, and so the Lord tells Moses, Moses tells the people. And so, Moses was one of the leaders, and, we should all be leaders, and some is just of helping one person, others is helping a multitude, but each time we are to take what God has given us and share it with others. It's this society that we live in is me. It's I, me, mine. And if it doesn't help you, if it doesn't do good to you, then many times you don't think about that it could help someone else. It does or it does not help me, and that's the only reason I'm interested in. That is not the way of God. That's not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is a love, a joy, a peace, and a willingness to continue to help others. Show them the grace of God, the love of God. Show them also the judgment of God. Show them how to be saved. Show them how to grow, many things. Speak unto thou also unto the children of Israel, the 13th verse says, "Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that do sanctify you." Okay, this command is going specifically to Israel, right here. 1,500 years before the birth of Christ, the word came to Moses and on to the people concerning the Sabbath, the resting upon the Sabbath day. It was given to a specific people, and that is to the nation of Israel. Also to the children of Israel, saying, "Verily the Sabbath shall ye keep. It is a sign between me and you." It's a covenant. It's a promise. It's a rule that is given between God and the nation of Israel. That ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I am the one that's going to empower you, strengthen you, cleanse you. And so I'm giving you this rule. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, verse 14, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now that's pretty strict. This rule of resting on the Sabbath, and it is not as is used today. It was never set up to come to worship. Now, later, they had the synagogue. They would come on the Sabbath day to hear the reading of the Word. But when God gave this covenant, this promise, this law unto the nation of Israel, they were to do no servile work. They were not to prepare food on that day. They were not to do anything that there was only a certain distance they could travel from home on that day. You go back and you look at what this law, this time of the Sabbath, and you'll find it in Deuteronomy chapter 9, and we may move there next time we get together to just take a look at that in review to see what it actually tells folks to do. It is not get up in the morning and fix breakfast and then read the paper and then proceed on to church and listen to the preacher preach the message, and then after church go out to the restaurant and eat, and then come back home and rest in the afternoon, or maybe go outside and work on something just a little bit, maybe from farm machinery to the lawnmower to whatever it might be, and then if you have services in the evening, well, then you'd return back in the evening. This was set that you, as the husband, the man of the household, was to meditate and to fellowship, to teach. It was a quiet time, resting and praising God for his creation and for what the blessings God has given. There was not an organized service. There was not a place of service built. This tabernacle was not a place where they would come on a weekly basis. There was certain feasts. There were certain offerings that would be brought unto this tabernacle, unto the brazen altar. Those things are all written down in God's law. But here we're talking about one thing in the Sabbath day. What happened if you do not keep the Sabbath according to the way God commanded? It says you'll be put to death. Now, even the folks that have stayed with the Sabbath, and there's not a lot, but there are some that believe we need to be going to church on the Sabbath because that's the law, that's the rule. Well, what happens when they look to the Word of God and realize that what they're doing is not what was commanded to the nation of Israel to begin with? And the next thing is, it wasn't commanded to anyone but the nation of Israel. It was never commanded to the church. It was never given to the church. We worship on Sunday because it's the first day of the week. That's the day the Lord Jesus came out of the grave alive. I can't imagine a better day to come and rejoice and remember the Lord's day and the day that Jesus rose from the dead is alive. On the Sabbath day, on Saturday, our Lord was in the grave. He was dead on the Sabbath day because, see, that's what happened when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. and died upon that cross, he fulfilled the law. And it's a new day. And this new day is a beautiful day, a day of rejoicing, a day of following the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not any longer under the law. We are above that. Our requirement should be above the law because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. But we are not under the law any longer. If you do not keep this according to the way God had written it, you should die. So if you're going to go according to the law, and I guess I need to ask if that's what you worship on the Sabbath day and believe that it's a command and it's a requirement for salvation. If you do, I just ask you, how many people have you put to death if they did not follow that? And probably all of you should be, because you're going to church. You're not doing it by any means the way God commands it here. And so you see, it becomes man's law. It's not God's way. It's not God's law. If you want to worship God on Saturday and come together and praise Him, that's fine. If I want to on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, we even come together on Wednesday night and study the Word of God. That's what we do. We come together on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday afternoon. We love studying the Word of God. We love studying God's Word. And so you see, we're not under that requirement. But we can come any time. I love to worship on Sunday, because Sunday is the day Jesus came out of that grave alive. What a day to rejoice and to praise Him. This was done away with, as far as the church is concerned. Again, many ask the question when it was changed. It was not. Sabbath is Saturday. It's always been that way. The question is, why do we worship on Sunday? Because Jesus came out of the grave on the first day of the week. He's alive. He was dead on Saturday, alive on Sunday. What an awesome opportunity, wonderful opportunity for us to begin the week, the first day of the week. Jesus could have come out of the grave on Saturday if he'd have chose to, but he did not. And the reason I believe he did not is because he wanted to show that the law was finished. The law is complete, and he completed that, and that's what he did. Now we need to look each day in the praise and the honor of the Lord, and we need to follow his word correctly. But I believe as you look at this, you'll find that the day of Pentecost, the day of the birth of the church, was the day after the Sabbath, which was Sunday. Again, what happens if you choose not to keep the Sabbath? If you're going to go by the law, you best never break it, because you're to be put to death. But I never have heard of that. I've never heard that someone was put to death. You see, it seems as though that we kind of just follow whatever we want to do, isn't it? And that's not right. We need to look to the Word of God. Let's read this once again, and then we'll go on. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, verse 14, for it is holy unto you. He's speaking to Israel, specifically to Israel. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, what do we call work? Would the preacher that is giving the message, wouldn't that be classed as his work? Well, you're going to have to take him out and stone him, aren't you? Well, we don't do that. Wait a minute here. Why are we picking on one and not on another? And I've had folks that really criticize because I worship on Sunday and I teach that to come on Sunday morning. I have studied the Word of God. I see no reason to come on Saturday. I'm not under the law. I could come on Saturday if I want to, but I prefer to do it on Sunday when Jesus rose from the grave. Verse 15, 6 days may work be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel, once again, it identifies, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Not the church. There's nothing in the New Testament. This is speaking specifically to the children of Israel, shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It is a sign between who? Between the children of Israel and God. It is not a sign to the church. It is not a sign to the Gentiles. It's a sign to the nation of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of the communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. Isn't that something? Each time as the Lord would speak to Moses, God would take and in the stone, and I believe that the Lord cut these stones out and he would write with his finger. He would pen in this stone these commandments. And so here comes Moses as he would come down the mount. And he's been on that mount a long time, and that's the problem that we're going to arise and look at here in chapter 32. But I want you to see that it's clearly to Israel, and I don't ever want to teach something that is incorrect, and I don't see in God's Word anything that instructs us as the church, the day of grace, and that come about on the day of Pentecost. You know, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Lord Jesus was seen by multitude, and the Lord Jesus ascended. And then about 10 days later, on Pentecost, is when the Holy Spirit with great power came down upon Peter and John and James and the rest as they were empowered by the Word of God to give out this precious gospel. Jesus saves. This Jesus that you crucified was said many times by Peter. The law was fulfilled. And if you'll look to see, if you worship on Saturday, you go back and you check to see how they were to do that, exactly what they were to be doing. And you'll find out there wasn't one of them got their buggy out and went to church. They were to stay at home. They were to do as little as possible. They were to have a mindset of the Lord in teaching their family. It wasn't to go out and to have a time of a group fellowship. There's nothing stated about that in this commandment. So what we've done is just taken little bits of each to make it fit the way we think it should be, and we really shouldn't do that. So look to the Word of God. Recognize that it says, and I've got it underlined many times in this short section of Scripture, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel. This is between me and Israel. It just keeps identifying that. Now, if you're not a Jew, and seeing how this was before the cross, there's a couple of reasons why that you can worship when you want to. in honor and praise unto the Lord. And I feel, as we have the example of the first day Pentecost being on Sunday, being the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead, what a wonderful opportunity we have not to say, God, I'm going to worship on this day because this is when I want to worship. What a wonderful day we can come and honor and praise our God, for he has risen from the dead. So I hope that you enjoy, and I hope you think about it when you enter into your church. I hope that you think about it if it's on Sunday morning, and thinking of the activities that went on at the grave when they were coming to the stone and the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away. They were, "Who's stolen away the body of my Lord?" And then the angel said, "You know, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here; he is risen." Oh, what wonderful words! Because you see, my Lord is risen. He's seated on the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for me with his Father, my Father. What a glorious day it is to walk with the Lord Jesus. I hope that helped you understand maybe just a little bit why we worship on Sunday, why we come together on Sunday, and then also who that was directed to. Now, let's go on, and we're going to just get started in chapter 32, and that's all, just a beginning. Exodus chapter 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not where, what is become of him." Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me." Now, we're not going to go any further because, again, we just got a little short period of time here. But a couple of things that I want you to think about between now and the next time we get together. Number one is these earrings. These earrings were a sign of idolatry. It's a sign of idol worship. That's a sign that you served the gods, the idols of Egypt. And even though the nation of Israel had been led out of Egypt by Moses, by Aaron, clearly by the hand of God leading, they still carried with them this idol worship, this desire to worship idols. They have trouble with that. We have trouble with that. Let's back up just a little bit and see why this come about. Moses was gone. He had been gone for a period of time up on the mount as God was preparing his heart and giving him all these instructions, the law, the plans to the tabernacle, the plans of worship, all these things God was giving unto Moses. And when he came back down or was coming down, here was these two tablets that he possessed, and he held them because God had written them. And you think about that. But the people got in a hurry. Isn't that sound just like us? We're a now people. We've got to do it now. We've got to have it now, possess it now. And they didn't know where this man named Moses went to. So you see, they built their own gods. and they build out of the earrings from the idols of the land of Egypt. What a sad statement. So sad. We're going to see a powerful prayer here from Moses very shortly. We're going to begin here next time we come together. My dear friend, what do you do? What are you going to do about Jesus?